Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. There are two examples and circumstances in this chapter which indicate daily bread. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed, and he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." May God bless our reading of his word. It's particularly to the incident in verses 2 through 7, where Elijah was given bread and flesh morning and evening by ravens. And then in verses 8 through 16, where the barrel of meal failed not, neither did the cruse of oil run out, according to the word of the Lord. We use this as part of the biblical basis for the instruction that God gives us concerning the fourth commandment, the fourth petition of our Lord's Prayer. The fourth petition is, "Give us this day our daily bread." And the Heidelberg Catechism says that means this, that is, "Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee." Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. So we acknowledge that God is the only fountain of all good. Not our work, not our concerns, not even God's gifts. And nothing of those can profit us without his blessing, so that we will trust in him alone. Our Lord answered the disciples' request to be taught how to pray by giving them this prayer. The first three petitions of our Lord's Prayer obviously are all about God, all about our Heavenly Father. But now we start the next three, and these three focus on us. Well, in a way they do. Because as the Catechism explains them, they still keep our attention and focus on God, our Father. And that's what we want to be able to see. So first, we look at the petition itself, and it's for daily bread. And there can be nothing more simple than just that, a simple request. But we want to see that the simplicity of that request requires a great spiritual effort, a great spiritual attitude. And that's our second point. And we want to conclude with the consideration that this requires humility on our part, great humility, so that we pray this sincerely and in a humble manner. So first, a very simple request. It's bread. Bread. They say that prisoners, when they were in dire straits, were given bread and water. Bread and water, that's it. Nothing else. No potatoes, no meat, no vegetables, no fruit, bread and water. Bread is obviously a figure of speech to refer to the basic needs that every human has in order to continue to live. So we need bread daily, continually, but we also need shelter. We also need clothing. So those fit under the heading of bread. We need basic things, essential things, for us to be able to continue to exist. Jesus adds the word daily. Give us this day our daily bread. And by adding that, we're taught not just to ask for the basics, but we have to make it even more simple, and we have the right, Jesus says, to ask God for those basic necessities for today, not for tomorrow, not for next week, not for Friday or Saturday, but for today. One day at a time. And if the goal is, as the Catechism says, that we withdraw our trust from creatures, including ourselves, and we place it alone in God, then what God did for the children of Israel in the wilderness, manna, 6 days a week, in the morning only, and what they had, if they kept it on those first day, 6 days of the week, if they kept it, overnight, it would rot and not be useful the next day. So they needed that to be replenished. Now for 40 years, not just for a week straight, but for 40 years, every morning, they went out and gathered their daily bread. Elijah. When I looked at this incident again, then I wondered, how much did those ravens bring him in the morning? And how much did they bring him in the evening? Can't believe that it was a whole lot. What all of us are going to put on a plate this noon has to exceed what he got each time together. And then it was brought to him by birds that were known for being ravenous and carnivorous, that they would have wanted to eat what instead they carried and brought to Elijah. And then that widow. No, give to me first. So she scrapes the bottom of the barrel, the container where the flour was, and she gets the last drops out of that cruse of oil, and she goes to her little fire and puts it on a pan and makes a sort of cake bread, and then she gives it to Elijah. Brings it to him. And then she goes back, and she knows it's empty, both of them, and there's a little bit more. And she has enough for herself and her son for days, weeks. We don't know how long exactly, but we do know that the word of God came to Elijah to bring forth rain 3.5 years later. 3.5 years afterwards. So for years, she emptied that flour barrel or pot and emptied that cruse of its oil. Daily. Now, what do we learn from putting those two words together? Well, remember that the bread and the other necessities, shelter and clothing, are to be viewed. The proper way to look at them is not as if they are an end in themselves, but rather they are a means to an end. Just take the bread and water. That is to sustain us and provide for us the nourishment that we need to be able to fulfill our calling to God. Living before God, we need to be physically sustained to be able to do that. The clothing that we wear, same thing. The shelter. Everything is not an end in itself. Don't stop there and I'm done. No, it's to provide us with whatever we need to fulfill our callings to God. Also, we want to recognize that when we say daily, what an infant needs is different than from what an adult needs. And so there's going to be a variety. Just as, for example, what we need for shelter here in the 45th, 43rd parallel north of the equator, when you're at the equator, you don't need what we need. You need other things. And so there's a variety between a woman who's pregnant and one who's not. Her daily needs are going to be different. And that's true throughout the whole of our life. So what's a daily need for one is not identical to the daily need of another. But we all may pray under this language with that in mind, that it may vary. One other thing. While we pray, this is a prayer that we don't pray when we have nothing. This is a prayer we're taught to pray when we've got a cupboard and a pantry. It's got all kinds of things in it. Then the rightness of this petition is still properly ours. Even though every wife and mother who's going to prepare a meal has got it all planned. She knows she's got everything there. Most of the time. That she's ready and willing and able with all the preparations and all the things that are in the cupboard, and she's ready to go. And yet, we're going to pray. We're going to sit down, and some of us have that custom of still praying the Lord's Prayer together or individually at the beginning of the prayer. And there's the food, and the table's covered. We're going to pray. And the idea of that is that we don't have to be without in order to be able to pray this petition. We still can have much, but have to keep in mind the particular attitude that we have to have toward our relationship to God and God's relationship to us. There's still properly the right need to pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread. So we may abound as well as be abased. We may be full as well as empty, and it's still proper to pray this. But when we abound, then now we're getting close to the second point. The exercise of faith is more urgent when we're without than when we have much. So we want to sit here this morning and know we have much. So how can we pray this petition sincerely? Well, number one, this is a check, a hold on our wants. And it advises us, no, we ought to pray only for what we basically need, not for what we want. So we're taught, be careful. Don't let all the newspaper advertisements, television advertisements of food or other things that we can have determine for us what we're going to ask for. Jesus is going to teach us what to ask for. And it's not whether we can have and happen to have the ability to buy whatever we want, whenever we want it. Varying levels of that, of course. But it's not that that's the case. We have to set that aside. No, we still have to go down to the basics. I need to pray only for today. And it guards us from worrying. When I think of this widow, not only the first time, but the second, the third, and the 100th time that she emptied each one. Or maybe we can say, just like the children of Israel, 40 years worth. Okay, it's going to be there. And they had to be careful that they didn't think, well, of course it's going to be there. Why even pray? God's going to do it. Or the oil on the 50th day, she began to expect. What else? Sure, happened for 49 days. Why would it stop? We could still expect that to happen. And again, the same thing in our attitude is that we have to know what it means to trust. To trust Jehovah. And that he will use the sleep, the clothing, the food, the shelter to equip us so that it's, well, I was going to say this in the beginning. We've got three petitions, the first three, and they're all about God. And the next three are all about us. But the very first one is about food. Sin, that's important, and temptations, fifth and sixth petitions. Yes, they're fit more into the realm of the spiritual. But now, in light of everything we've said, we begin to realize that the petition for daily bread is more spiritual than you initially think. We just prayed, Father, may thy will be done by me today and tomorrow as excellently as it's being done by the angels in heaven. May I have a proper attitude. May I have a proper conduct and willingness to be obedient, just like the angels. And that means that I live in the consciousness that my faith must be very, very active as I pray, give us this day our daily bread. First, it makes us acknowledge that the one to whom we're praying, and the one to whom we're praying is sovereign Lord of all. He controls. He has the ability. He's the only one who has the ability to answer that petition and give us our daily need. He only can. Nobody else can. He alone. So we're conscious of that simple truth that God is in sovereign control of all things. In Psalm 147, verses 8 and 9, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. Why? He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. In Psalm 104, verses 10 through 15. He sendeth the springs in the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of heaven have their habitation in the trees that grow by those streams, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and maketh his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. God is the giver of the for the birds, the food for the birds. It's an amazing thing. Have a couple bird feeders. All day, there's birds eating. And it's almost as if everything they do is to get food. Rarely do they just sit and rest. The little ones are always active, always watching out for the hawks, but always busy eating. And as you watch, then know God provides for each. The sovereign God. So if first faith says, when we ask for daily bread, we're going to pray to the one who is in sovereign control of all things, then secondly, that means a consciousness of dependence. I am dependent upon my Heavenly Father. So it's learning and relearning that we're always receiving from Him and that we have no one to thank but Him. Even we, with much, are just as dependent upon him as Elijah was by the brook Cherith, and he with the widow and her son in Zarephath of Zidon. And even though there's how many millions of people on the earth, we are expressing dependence individually on him in the confidence that he has a consciousness of each and every one of us. The baby that grows in the womb, the old person under hospice care, every single one is to live in conscious dependence upon the sovereign God. Then related to that, thirdly, our faith makes us realize that we must have a trust that he will provide today and tomorrow, but we're going to trust him. And now we go back. Why can we trust him? Because we just started our petition, our prayer this way. Our Father. He has a relationship with us that he established and that he maintained. He knows. He made us special to him. That's the use in the King James of that word peculiar. In 1 Peter and Titus 2, we are his peculiar people. That word peculiar is from the Greek word which means his own, unique, special people. He who feeds the birds, he who watches over the lilies, he knows us. And then you have those familiar words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, Jesus says, I say unto you, take no thought, be not anxious for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is life more than meat and the body than raiment? Look at the fowls. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. How much better are you than they? Are ye not much better? Take no thought. Be not anxious. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Faith to trust him, the sovereign God, on whom we are dependent, calls us to trust him. And that trust is always then to be accompanied with contentment. Contentment. Contentment is that which was ready to accept the will, his will. So now we just prayed, thy will be done. Well, whatever his will is for us, the will of his counsel, we're ready to accept that. And that means that we truly strive to make all the earthly things subservient to this attitude of trust and contentment. So Paul says, I know contentment is not only I know how to be abased, brought down, emptied, but I also know how to abound. I know what's the proper conduct and attitude of my mind when I have much, as well as if I have nothing. Now that, again, remember, give us this day, no, wait a minute, us, our, not give me, my, but us, our. So we're very conscious of the fact that there are times in the life of God's children where he would have us to live without. He said that at the end of Hebrews 11. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. That's sometimes the case with God's people. Revelation 13 tells us that there's going to be an Antichrist who's going to say, you have to have my mark in order to buy and sell. The child of God's going to refuse the mark of the Antichrist. The child of God's going to say, if God would have me to starve, then I'm going to be content and I'm going to see his hand holding mine, taking care of me, bringing me through. It's not going to change his relationship, but I'm going to trust that if he wants me to die starving, to take me to heaven, that's good. It's gain. It's not loss, it's gain. So we don't pray demanding, but subserviently, submissively, in the spirit of the petition, thy will be done. One last thing about faith's exercise. The ravens brought Elijah bread and water, bread and meat, flesh, and the cruse of oil didn't fail, nor did the flour. But God has declared, even before there was sin, that the way in which we would receive our daily bread from our Father's hand was by working. Working. Genesis 1, verse 28. Subdue the earth. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing. Now, at that point, before the flood, that subduing of all things was that they would not eat the fish and the fowl and the beasts, but they would use them. After the flood, God said, now you can eat of them. But before that, no. Then God put Adam in the garden, and he put him into the garden, notice, to dress it and to keep it, to cultivate, till it. That was the idea. And then God said in chapter 3, as a part of the curse that he placed upon man for his sin, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. In the sweat of thy face, you have to work. The character of your work must be with diligence. And so serious was this, was God, that when there were saints who thought Jesus was coming soon, so they would quit their work, as if to work was bad. Then the Apostle Paul writes to them in the second letter to the Thessalonians, we command you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Don't provide for them. They have to learn to work. They have to learn to get to work. Now we trust God to use our work. But that's something that I was reminded of in the preparation for this. We pray for daily food. We ought to pray before we go to work. Give me diligence. Open the door for me to work. And when I have work, thanks, Father. Not I'm entitled to it, I should have it, but thank him that we are able to work. But then to work with that proper conduct of diligence and a proper attitude of thanks. Constantly striking is when Paul told the newly converted Christians about work. He told them about it this way. You used to get by whatever way you could, and many of you stole in deceitful ways or worked in deceitful ways to get your bread. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have. That he may have. That he may have to give to him that needeth. We have, in order not for me. So Elijah turned to this poor widow who had just told him, I don't have anything more. I don't have anything for you. I'm gathering just 2 sticks in order to make a fire, to make a tiny little fire, to bake this bread and oil mixture, this flour and oil mixture, and then we're going to eat it and die. Give to me first. She knew he was a man of God, a man from Israel, a prophet. She could identify that in his clothing. He could identify her as a widow in her clothing. She looked at him and he said, give to me first. Now, was he being arrogant? Was he being self-centered and selfish? No. He was showing her the attitude that we must have. Sometimes we might grow weary in the spring and fall when, in addition to our regular giving for the causes of God's church and the king in God's causes in church, there comes all these letters for all these drives, one after another. And they don't want a little. They don't need a little. They need a lot. Then we have to remember, we work in order to have to give. And then don't forget the parable that Jesus told about the rich man who wanted to build bigger and better barns. Or the words of Job, naked I came into the world. And the undertaker always has to dress me because I come into his place naked. I came with nothing and I'm going to leave with nothing. What do I deserve? Give us this day our daily bread. And so God puts us in a position of great humility. That humility says, I must trust completely in the sovereign God who is my Father. I must not trust in any human. Psalter number 400, the second stanza, put no confidence in princes, nor for help on man depend. He shall die to dust returning. Our assurance for our daily bread comes from our assurance that God will use the economy, he will use our jobs, he will use our abilities, but we don't put our trust in them. We put our trust in him. And at the same time, we see that bread is without any value if we don't have God's blessing upon it. Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is little with the fear of God than great treasure and trouble therewith. The fear of God, that's the key. That we never forget his sovereignty, that we never forget our trust in him, that we never forget to be content with whatever he gives. As much as sometimes we might crave for food, crave for God's blessing of his undeserved love. Always start every morning with this. What do I deserve from him? If I look back at what I did in my sleep, I did nothing to earn his favor. In fact, if I look at my dreams, they were all about me, not about him. I deserve his wrath. We receive nothing but undeserved love. Pray for his blessing. Crave that. And lastly, this. Let us realize that the Spirit of Christ is at work in us. And that Spirit of Christ that's at work in us is obviously at work because we want to pray this petition sincerely. We want this request to be prayed the way Jesus prayed it. And when he guides us in light of the previous petition to accept his will no matter what, then we learn more and more not to set our hearts on the things of this earth, not on earthly relationships, not on our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, not on this, but on that which is spiritual, his relationship to us. That's everything. Everything. Then we learn more and more to look up for our daily needs. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for this assurance. We thank thee for the way in which thy word and our Savior in his phrasing of this simple request teaches us that this is more spiritual than we first thought. It requires faith to look up, faith to rest, in the wisdom of Thee, our Father. Thankful for Thee being our Father, knowing that Thou wilt care in Thy way, and Thy way is the best way. For Jesus' sake, amen.